Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fellow fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and it's the weekend, so as always, I'll be taking over for Bubba as the host of this weekend edition of the podcast. You can follow me at Jake Crumpler on Twitter, and you can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball-related from Friday, June 21st. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league. Starting with the bad news, our first IL placement is second baseman Adiel Amador of the Rockies. He was placed on the 10-day IL with a right oblique strain. Colorado's top prospect, Amador, had been filling in at the Keystone for injured regular Brendan Rodgers, batting 171 across 10 games, and well, the timing couldn't be more perfect because as soon as they lost their replacement second baseman, the regular starter is back. Rodgers was activated from the 10-day IL, but took a seat on the bench on his first day back on the roster. It was likely because Rodgers wasn't fully healed, though they had to activate him with Amador heading to the IL, but expect Rodgers to reclaim the everyday second base role in the coming days. The Rockies made up both of our IL placements as they also placed outfielder Charlie Blackmon on the 10-day IL with a right hamstring strain. Blackmon has been on the bench for the past three games, and the Rockies finally decided to place him on the IL. Blackmon could return within a week, though, but in the meantime, Jake Cave will platoon in right field with Sean Bouchard, while Hunter Goodman gets everyday at-bats at DH. In terms of transactions, starting pitcher Yariel Rodriguez was activated from the 15-day IL. Rodriguez landed on the IL in late April with thoracic spine inflammation. He pitched to a 4.11 ERA across the first four starts of his career and returned to the mound Friday, surrendering five runs, four of which were earned, while failing to escape the second inning in Cleveland. Not a great start from Rodriguez, though he should remain in the rotation. However, it's best to avoid him in fantasy until he gets a couple of good starts under his belt. Third baseman Max Muncy was transferred to the 60-day IL by the Dodgers. Muncy has been out since mid-May with an oblique strain, and now he won't be eligible to return until after the All-Star break. Expect Kevin Biggio and Enrique Hernandez to continue to hold down the hot corner until Muncy returns. Starting pitcher Landon Knack was recalled from the minors, another move by the Dodgers. Knack made four successful starts earlier this year, each of which he failed to surrender more than two earned runs. Knack continued his streak and his return to the majors, keeping the Angels off the board for five frames. And our last transaction is outfielder Joey Loperfido, who was recalled from the minors by the Astros. Loperfido made headlines in April with 10 homers across his first 13 games at AAA. Following his call-up 2 weeks later, Loperfido hit .333, but failed to showcase his power and struck out at an obscene 39.5% clip. Loperfido cut back on the strikeouts in his return to the minors, but has been unable to recover his power stroke. Loperfido will enter the strong side of a platoon in the corner outfield in Houston until Kyle Tucker returns to health. And in terms of news, starting pitcher Jesus Luzardo of the Marlins won't make his scheduled start today. Luzardo dealt with back stiffness in his last start, and it's unclear when he will take the mound next. Second baseman Gleyber Torres of the Yankees received clean results from an MRI on his groin. Torres remains day-to-day, but should return sometime this weekend. Starting pitcher Max Scherzer will be evaluated today by the Rangers staff, at which point a decision will be made on his return. If all goes well, Scherzer could make his season debut on Sunday against the Royals. Outfielder Lourdes Gurriel Jr. of the Diamondbacks left Friday's game with elbow soreness. X-rays came back clean, though, so expect Gurriel to be back in the lineup this weekend. And lastly, outfielder Fernando Tatis Jr. left his game with a left triceps contusion after being hit by a pitch. Expect Tatis to miss a game or two, but be glad that this is just a minor injury. And now we'll check out the notable performances from Friday, a day in which we had 14 games as the Giants and Cardinals had the day off. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with Josh Lowe as he helped the Rays to a win in Pittsburgh, going 3-for-5 with two runs, two home runs, and four runs batted in. He's up to five home runs on the year now. The first one traveled 411 feet at 104.9 miles per hour, while the second one went 402 feet at 103.2 miles per hour. Lowe didn't make his season debut until May 6th before hitting the IL again later that month. He returned on June 5th, but he didn't get going until this past week. After recording just two hits across his first nine games, Lowe has six hits across his last four, including a trio of long balls. I was out on Lowe in the offseason, but his injuries made him available on the wire, and now I'm more invested in the outfielder than ever as I have him on a couple of fantasy teams. So what can we expect moving forward? Well, last season's batting average was definitely a fluke, but Lowe is proving to still be a power speed threat. He's also batting cleanup for the Rays against righty, so his run production should be above average as well. Lowe should be rostered universally, even if he was a bust pick in the offseason, and a correct one at that. Jeimer Candelario helped the Reds to a win versus the Red Sox, going 2-for-4 with 2 runs, a pair of home runs, and 2 runs batted in. He's up to 14 home runs on the year now. The first one traveled 373 feet at 107.6 miles per hour, while the second one went 410 feet at 104.5 miles per hour. It's been a tale of two seasons. In Candelario's first year in Cincinnati, he batted just .218 with a below average WRC plus through the season's first 2 months, but he's turned things around in June. This month, Candelario is batting .347, and he's crushed 8 balls over the fence, 2 more than he hit in the first 2 months combined. He's also chipped in his first 3 stolen bases of the season as he looks to replicate his solid 2023 campaign. The outlook on Candelario's season wasn't good entering the summer, but after 3 hot weeks supported by a reduced strikeout rate and increased barrel rate, as well as a spot in the 3-hole in Great American Ballpark, Candelario is back to being a player that should be rostered everywhere. And lastly, we have Luis Garcia Jr. as he helped the Nationals to a win in Colorado, going 1-for-5 with 2 runs, a home run, 3 runs batted in, and a steal to complete the combo meal. He's up to 6 home runs and 10 steals on the season now. The home run traveled 393 feet at 106.1 miles per hour. Garcia is sort of a weird player. He debuted super young at the age of 20 in 2020, and he's failed to produce enough at the plate to become fantasy relevant. However, all the tools are there as Garcia has great contact ability, decent power, and burgeoning speed, and he's still under 25. And he seems to be putting everything together in 2024. The most promising area of Garcia's improvement lies in his batted ball metrics, and that's usually what you're hoping for. He's sporting the best barrel and hard hit rates of his career, supporting his quest to eclipse double digits in the home run department for the first time in his career. He's already set a career high with his 10 stolen bases on the season. Garcia is more of a 15-team play as he doesn't do enough to make a difference in 12-teamers, but his 5-category production and everyday role in Washington make him an enticing option in deeper leagues. But if you'd like a breakdown of notable hitting performances from Friday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out the notable starting pitching performances, opening with Jose Quintana as he helped the Mets to a win versus his former club on the north side of Chicago, tossing 6 1/3 scoreless innings while allowing just 4 hits and a walk. He struck out 8, inducing 13 whiffs with 35% CSW across 103 pitches, and Quintana outdueled Shota Imanaga as his secondary pitches were on point. His curve was his main weapon here, being thrown more than any other pitch while racking up 7 whiffs on 44% CSW. The changeup chipped in as well with 4 whiffs of its own, while his pair of heaters stole strikes and produced outs in the field. Quintana executed the Blake Snell blueprint beautifully, and the separation of his pitches on his strike zone plot is a work of art. This is Quintana at his best, as he thrives when he has command of all of his pitches. This is the beginning of a Vargas rule, as Quintana should succeed as long as he maintains this level of command, which means his next start against the Astros is a pretty sneaky stream. Landon Knack took a no decision as the Dodgers lost to the Angels, tossing 5 scoreless innings, allowing just 2 hits and 2 walks while striking out 2. He induced 6 whiffs with 22% CSW across 73 pitches. Knack returned to the majors with a vengeance and has now made 5 starts without allowing more than 2 runs in any of them in the majors this season. He went with a 3-pitch mix in this one, showcasing a 4-seamer, a changeup, and a slider. The heater has great attributes, but the Dodgers' reluctance to have their pitchers throw their fastballs upstairs prevents that pitch from reaching its true potential. It was constantly located down the middle, returning just 1 whiff and 19% CSW as his most used pitch. Maybe that's a product of Knack being unable to locate properly rather than the Dodgers telling him to keep his heater down, but either way, he's going to need that heater to miss bats if he wants to find success in the future. The secondaries combined for 5 whiffs, however, they were tossed wildly around the zone without a discernible plan. Knack's minor league numbers suggest he's going to be a Toby at his best in the majors, which is fine for a pitcher on the Dodgers, as he'll surely get you some wins, but with Knack's workload being managed, he's pitched into the 6th inning just 3 times this year across the majors and minors, so he will have a hard time getting the wins that will make him a viable option in fantasy leagues. There's potential in there with the shape of his fastball and the presence of a handful of secondaries, but he's going to need to show up with a plan and execute it before I go trusting him against all but mediocre offenses. Nat could get either the White Sox or Giants next if he sticks in the rotation, and while I'd start him in the former start, I have my reservations about the latter. And lastly, we have Carlos Carrasco, as he earned a win versus the Blue Jays, tossing 6 innings, allowing 4 hits and 1 earned run. He walked nobody while striking out 7, inducing 9 whiffs with 32% CSW across 79 pitches. Carrasco is making the most of what could be his last season in the majors. He displayed significantly increased velocity across the board on Friday. I'm talking 2 miles per hour up on everything, which propelled him to his best start of the season and his most strikeouts in a start since 2022. Carrasco's slider was unhittable, returning 7 whiffs and 48% CSW as his most thrown offering, while the rest of his arsenal was sort of just there to keep batters from guessing that slider would be coming. And that's really the story with Carrasco every night. He's hoping for one of his secondaries to take over to keep batters off his terrible heater. Usually it's the changeup, but last night it was the slider. And I don't think Carrasco would find consistent success even if he had both of them working on a given night, because his heaters are truly that bad. It may feel harsh, but I can't even think of a start in which I trust him, and I'm definitely not turning to Carrasco for his next start in Baltimore. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Friday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily SP roundup over on pitcherlist.com. And now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves, starting with the former. Mason Miller locked down his 14th save with a perfect ninth. Eniel De Los Santos recorded the final 5 outs of the game to secure his first save of the season. Robert Suarez wasn't deployed because the lead was removed from save territory after an insurance run was posted in the 8th. Paul Sewald notched his 9th save with a perfect 9th inning. That makes 12 and 2/3 consecutive scoreless innings for Sewald. Jason Foley recorded a 4-out save, his 13th save of the season, and Foley has yet to allow a run in June, though that has come with just 2 saves. Alexis Diaz had a rare scoreless outing as he secured his 17th save. With Josh Hader having pitched on consecutive days, the Astros turned to Brian Abreu for the 3rd day in a row as the right-hander successfully locked down his first save of the season. And lastly, Carlos Estevez notched his 14th save with a perfect 9th. That's now 8 consecutive perfect frames for Estevez as his newfound control has turned him into a completely different pitcher. And in terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Yoan Duran blew his first save of the season and took his 3rd loss, serving up a 2-run go-ahead home run in the 8th. Duran has consistently struggled in non-save situations, so the only thing we can do is hope the Twins recognize that and keep him in the 9th inning. Tanner Scott pitched the 9th inning of a tie game. Scott prevented the Mariners from recording a hit in a game the Marlins would go on to win in extras. Andrés Muñoz also pitched the 9th in scoreless fashion in that one. Muñoz quietly has the 3rd best ERA in the American League. Kirby Yates pitched the 9th with the Rangers up by 4. Yates hasn't seen much action this year, so the Rangers are manufacturing situations for the righty to stay game ready. And lastly, Evan Phillips recorded the final 2 outs of the 10th inning after failing to prevent an inherited zombie runner from scoring. That run would be the deciding factor in the Dodgers' eventual loss. But if you'd like a breakdown of notable relief pitching performances from Friday, check out the Daily Reliever Ranks article over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. Now we'll look forward to Saturday, June 22nd, a day in which we'll have a full slate of 15 games. My matchup of the day is Corbin Burnes versus Ronel Blanco. Burnes is almost guaranteed to have a good start every time out, while Blanco has been a welcome surprise this year with no-hit potential every time he takes the mound. In terms of probable starters, we've got 6 guys in our auto starts tier, including Burnes. We've also got Zach Wheeler versus the Diamondbacks, Tyler Glasnow versus the Angels, and Logan Gilbert in Miami. Our probably starts tier has 9 guys, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Tyler McGill in Chicago against the Cubs. McGill's got great stuff, but he lacks in the command department. McGill's new cutter, though, has allowed him to get away with inadequate fastball command, and he could continue that trend against the Cubs. I'd also keep an eye out for Drew Thorpe in Detroit. I'd be careful with this one, but if Thorpe has the feel for his signature changeup, he could tear the Tigers to shreds. We've witnessed the ceiling and the floor across the first 2 starts of his career, so all we can do is pray that the slow ball is there for Thorpe to succeed. In terms of hitter suggestions, I go for Nationals and Rockies hitters in Coors. Mitchell Parker and Cal Quantrill will be squaring off in that one, and while both of these pitchers have found ways to succeed this year, it's Coors Field. I'd also target Brewers and Padres hitters against Carlos Rodriguez and Randy Vasquez. It's not the best hitter's park, but with a pair of young arms taking the mound, the veteran hitters on each team could find themselves on base constantly. And now we'll close things out with our relievers to watch. Yoan Duran has pitched 3 times in the past 4 days and just blew a save yesterday, so don't be surprised if Griffin Jacks vultures a save today. Mason Miller has also pitched in three of the past four games and has seen his workload limited all season, so expect Lucas Urseg or Danny Jimenez to get the ninth today. Kirby Yates has also pitched in three of the past four, but his workload has generally been limited this year, so he should be free to go again today. If not, one of David Robertson or Jose Leclerc will fill in. Tanner Scott has pitched in four of the past 5 days, though I don't think the Marlins trust anyone else with the ninth, as the only other arm in the pen with a save is AJ Puck, and he's pretty much been removed from high leverage situations, so look for Scott to be back out there tonight. Paul Sewald has pitched on consecutive days, and this would be a perfect chance for Justin Martinez to record his first save of the season. And lastly, Evan Phillips has pitched on back-to-back days and in three of the past four. Daniel Hudson, Blake Treinen, and Alex Vesia will be the trio entrusted with the late innings while Phillips rests today. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Join PL Pro to gain access to the Discord to interact with PitcherList staff and members of the community, as well as to utilize the in-season tools to help you win your leagues. That'll wrap up this edition of the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Jake Crumpler. Tune in tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast, and make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Let's talk about baseball.